this week our theme as world changers, and we'll be in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, our theme this week wasn't live, love, speak. Our theme was live, love, speak boldly. That's right. It wasn't just about saying you live or saying you love or saying you speak for Christ, but doing it with boldness. So I want us to skip ahead to the end of Paul's letter here this morning in Ephesians 6, and I want you to see Paul's call for boldness in us, not his call for us to be Christians. This was a call to Christians to live a bold Christianity. Take a look, Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start a little bit into verse 18 through verse 20. He says, "To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication or prayer for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." So Paul was asking the Ephesians, we've talked about his relationship with them, amazing relationship, he loved them, he was impressed at how God was working in them, and he says, would you guys pray for me, because I don't just want to go on mission trips. I want to go, and I want to speak boldly. I don't want to go somewhere for 3 months or a year and come back and someone say, what did God do? And you say, not much. Because if God doesn't do much, it's not because of God's power. It's often how willing were we to allow God's power to work through us. So thank you for praying, because before we left, the weather forecast was a bit sketchy. And some of the things we were concerned about, we weren't sure. In fact, just a couple weeks before we were supposed to get there, we found out there were some funding problems and half the projects we needed weren't even ready yet. But God worked through it, and he didn't just bring projects. He brought the exact projects we needed to do to reach the exact people he wanted us to reach. It was exciting. And you see in here, he says, keep alert in supplication or prayer. I saw one pastor say it this way, watch before in prayer, and after prayer. Watch before prayer, in prayer, and after prayer. What does that mean? When I look at that, I get this idea of prayerfully prepare, prayerfully serve, and prayerfully evaluate. Prayerfully prepare. Prepare your heart. Before we ever went, I was already praying, God, give our students boldness. Let them not just wear it on their t-shirt. Let it come from their mouths. Prepare them, because if we aren't prepared to be used, you are very unlikely to be used. Isn't it hard to do big things accidentally? People don't break world records on accident. They have to prepare. And I talked to our students this week about so many times we're always just trying to do something in a moment and we forget we have to prepare before the moment arrives. We have to start getting ourselves ready. If you don't read the Bible and then you want to tell someone all about the Bible, you are unprepared. I love that Natalie said, you know what? I want to go back and I want to do better in my personal devotion. I want to be closer to the Lord through his word so that I'm not just telling people what I think, I'm telling them what God says. And I love that. So we have to prayerfully prepare and then prayerfully serve. There were some days it was a little hot outside. Some days it wasn't the easiest thing to do. And so you have to prayerfully ask God to give you that right heart attitude. And I'll tell you, I watched our students work in some difficult conditions at times, and the attitudes were just phenomenal. To see them say, you know what? This is only a week. Maybe I'm dealing with something right now that's not a lot of fun, and maybe this is kind of difficult. Maybe it's not exactly what I want to do right this second, but it's not going to last forever. And I have this opportunity to show people that God loves them. How about I take that opportunity and I don't whine? How about I do that? And then to prayerfully evaluate that after we've done all of this, here's where you need to be and here's where we need to be as a church. Now you're done, world changers, and yet you're not. Evaluate what God is doing. It's easy when you're there to say, you know what, I'm going to go back and do what I did here back home. But then sometimes we get back and there's all those friends that discourage us. There's all those distractions that distract us. There's all those things that cause us to say, well, I was just kind of talking. But no, we prayerfully evaluate. Okay, God, here's what I know you are capable of doing with me. And if you could do it with me in the Eastern time zone, I bet you can do it in the Central time zone. Maybe even Mountain and Pacific, but let's not go crazy, right? No, we prayerfully evaluate. And so in verse 19, you're seeing Paul talk about the fact that he knows that prayer, not fads or temporary commitments, are the key to ministry success. He asked for prayers so that he could open his mouth. You see the word two times in this small passage. Twice he says, boldly. I don't just want to open my mouth. Too many people are just opening their mouths. We need to open our mouths boldly because we have something to say. We have a message to declare. That word boldly, it means with frankness. Listen, sinners need to be spoken to with frankness. We need to tell them that they are not just in a series of bad choices, but that sin is deadly to their soul. As we learn from our new friends in Louisiana, we might say that they are a spiritual hot mess. I love that phrase, and I'm going to use it all the time now. And that's what we need to tell people. If you're speaking boldly, you're not saying, you know, you just, maybe you should come to Jesus. Maybe you should give Jesus a shot. People don't need to maybe come to Jesus. They must come to Jesus. There is no other option. So when we fail to speak, we are saying, well, they probably don't care, or it's not that important. When you don't share the gospel, you're saying it's not that important right now, or they may not care. Like I told the kids this week, don't say no for somebody else. If they're going to say no, let them say it from their own lips. Because every time you see someone say, well, they probably don't want to hear about that. They might think I'm crazy. Listen, there's going to be a day that everyone stands before God, and they definitely will want to have heard that message. Maybe they say no, but let them say it. Give them the opportunity. Speak with boldness. Because Paul says, and I love this word. I remember hearing this when I was a teenager, and it never quite registered. Paul would always talk about declaring the mystery. He's declaring the mystery of the gospel. And so I say, well, what's so mysterious about it? Listen, when we hold back in timidity or in fear, we allow the mystery of the gospel to not become a message of the gospel. Because every time we can share, we are turning the mystery of how God could love a sinner into a message that God loves the sinner. I was watching a DVD commentary one time, and on this commentary, there was this part with John Cleese in this movie called Holy Grail. And there was this long part where they were kind of making fun of the Bible. And you know, sometimes, how many of you have ever been reading the Bible and you get to one of those lists in the Bible and you're like, well, I'm done reading today. I think a lot of us are going, you're going along and we will worship the Lord with the cymbals and the xylophone and the guitar and you're just like, okay, well, I can't play any of those. And so you just skip along to the next chapter. Well, they were kind of making fun of that list. And I was listening to the commentary of one of the actors, John Cleese, and this commentary stopped me. In fact, I've tried to reach out to him and contact him. Here's what he says about this Bible list in here. He says, we brought up this endless Bible reading because every morning that I was at school, from the age of 8 to the age of 18, I went to a Church of England service. And part of the service every day would be a reading from the Bible. Sometimes it was stuff from the New Testament that was deeply mysterious. But it was strangely interesting, just no one ever explained it properly to me. That stopped me in my tracks. I thought, wait a minute, here's a guy who said he was hearing the Bible every day in a Christian school, and he wished someone would have explained it to him. It just became a mystery, and he just eventually pushed it aside. Because no one spoke with boldness to turn the mystery into a message for his life. So you go on to verse 20. When you have that message, Paul says, I want to declare it boldly. I love this. As I ought to speak. Do you understand that boldness is God's expectation for the Christian? That's what he expects of us. He expects us to do our best and to speak with boldness. Jesus Christ displayed boldness all the way to the cross. Paul displayed boldness writing about joy while he was in prison. Stephen displayed boldness while sharing the gospel to people that he knew were likely to kill him. Salvation must be boldly declared as a must, not as a maybe. Not as a, well, if you feel like it, maybe you should come to Jesus. We must come to Jesus. Telling someone that they are currently condemned in their sin is a bold act, yes. Walking up to someone and saying, you're broken, and God's not going to accept you in the way you are into heaven, that's a bold act. But to let them know that that same God loves them and has extended salvation to them from the cross displays that God also has a loving act, that God cares about them. God didn't just say you have a problem, then God fixed the problem. He solved the problem, but we have to choose to accept that solution. So people are constantly looking at our lives. They did it this week with our world changers. And they're looking, they're saying, you're talking about the Bible, but is the Bible fact or is it fiction? You know how people make that determination? They make that determination based on how you live as a Christian. If you say the Bible's important, but people look at your life and they see very little of the words of Scripture coming out of your mouth and out of your hands and through your feet, they look at the Bible and they say, you know what? It must be fiction because they're not really doing what it says. That's our opportunity every day to prove that the Bible is not fiction. The Bible is fact. And God is speaking. It's not some old dusty book. It's the living Word of God that I read this morning and it impacted my life. Not so that I could preach a sermon to you, but because God wanted to preach a sermon to me. Listen, we must live, love, and speak boldly. In Romans 12:1, it tells us that we should be a living sacrifice. That means every day I get up and I say, today, Jesus, I'm yours. Because you lived and you died and you rose again for me. How could I give you anything less? And the Bible says that to wake up every day and give yourself as a living sacrifice is your reasonable act of worship. It's only reasonable that the God who did everything for you might be able to expect you to speak with boldness, might be able to expect me to speak with boldness. It's only reasonable that saved people would declare salvation. And you know what? I'm thinking about it. So little of American Christianity requires boldness. Think about the boldness on display by believers all over the world right now. And then think about what makes someone seem like a bold Christian. Boy, they go to church every week. That's bold. No. They wore a Christian t-shirt and everybody saw it. That's bold. Nope. Wow, they gave money that will absolutely not impact their ability to eat this week. That's bold. No, it's not. Boldness is us really stepping out, really living our lives intentionally to impact people around us, really loving people like God loves us, and really speaking because the gospel is communicated by words. Yes, I know people say, you know, we communicate the gospel through our actions, and that is true. And yet, we use this Bible an awful lot because it's ultimately the words that really bring it home, that really help us to understand. So I'm challenging you in the same way God is challenging me to walk in boldness, looking for opportunities to turn the mystery into a message. We need to look and say, how is that going to happen here for us at First Baptist Church? Because that's the thing. It's not about kicking these kids out, having them do the ministry for us as a whole, and then we come back and say, good job, we really did something. Yes, you all contributed. You all stepped up big time in financially supporting these kids through the bake sale and through the work days, and I am so thankful as your pastor that I serve a church that steps up like that. And I know many of you were praying for us. You told us. And I'm so thankful for that. But I start looking and saying, so what are we going to do as a church? How are we as a church going to reach out? I keep looking and walking by and praying for Parker Center. I keep saying, God, what's our next step over there? How do we step it up even more to impact those teachers and impact those people and let them know that we care? How are we going to do it worldwide? You know, right now I'm talking to our missions team here in our church about not doing World Changers next year. Not because we don't love it, but if you recall Three Rivers Church up in La Crosse I told you about, I'm having a conversation with their pastor because they have a lot of people that are new believers. They have a small church. They're in a great town in La Crosse, Wisconsin. He said, we would love to do some sort of get out of our doors, some sort of maybe VBS or backyard Bible clubs. We don't even know because a lot of our people didn't grow up in church. They don't know how to do it. Man, if we had a church that'd be willing to like come up and help us out. And I'm looking and saying, there's not a single age in our church that couldn't go on that mission trip. We could have a family mission trip that our kids could go. And you know what? They could be missionaries to the kids right there in their classes. Our teenagers and our adults could go. We could not just do a vacation Bible school or a backyard Bible club, but we could probably help that church out and help people on the cross. Right now, I'm just praying about it. I just challenge you to pray about it too. How could we as a church go out and do? Because it's so important. And you know what? And I'm also thankful because God's calling us right here in our city, I think, in new ways. I've already spoken to a new person that's come on to the Village of McChesney Park, and he introduced himself to me. I get to go up, every couple months and do the invocation at the City Hall board meetings. And the guy came up to me afterwards and introduced himself. He said, yeah, I'm trying to just do some projects that will just better our community. So I contacted him a couple months ago. I said, you know what? I was so glad to meet you. You tell me what some of those projects are. Like, what are some things you want to see done? Because our church should be ready to step up. So you're saying, well, Pastor Heath, you're committing to something you don't know. Listen, that's right. That's called boldness. I believe that if there's some projects here in our city, I bet we can do them. I bet we can do them. And I want us to do them. And know what? Some of you came up to me after last week and said, you know what? You were talking about the police, and I would love to see us impact the police somehow. How do we do that? So I want you to know, I've been reaching out, trying to contact if there's a chaplain here locally. So far, I'm kind of striking out. So if anyone has any contacts, start making phone calls. Find out. Help us get a contact. I've got some ideas, some other pastors, some other churches, what they're doing to support those men and women. But I can't make all these phone calls all the time. I know that sounds so silly. You can't make a phone call. I tell you, sometimes it gets a little tough to even put a phone call in. So you know what? You can help me out a lot because you guys always want to hear me, you know, preach every Sunday and I got other stuff to do. So that would be really helpful. I appreciate that. But I'm also just saying it's not just about where we're going to go outside the city and how we're going to reach the city, but just like some of these students were talking about. What about your personal circle of influence? That's what we've been praying about this year. Reaching upward, reaching outward, reaching one. How's that going? How are you doing? Here, as we come out of the summer, we're going to be introducing an evangelism accountability opportunity in our church. Super simple. And I am really praying that it's going to be an opportunity for us to start saying, here's how I'm going to reach out and reach those in my circle of influence. This morning, I challenge you in two ways, not knowing what's going on with you where you sit. First of all, have you boldly admitted? Have you boldly admitted that you are a sinner and that the actions that you willingly choose on a daily basis have caused a break between you and God? Because without that admission that you're a sinner who needs a Savior, you cannot be saved. Knowing about God and knowing God are two different things. The Bible says even the demons know about God, and they shudder. I'm not asking, do you know about God? I'm saying, do you know God in a personal way? Do you feel comfortable getting up in the morning and speaking to God and reading the Bible and knowing that God has a plan for your life that can truly be activated? If you don't, you can. It's just about a bold admission, just admitting who you are. And God wants to do something great in your life. And if you've already made that bold admission, if you've already boldly admitted, I'm asking, will you be a person who is boldly committed? There's a lot of things we've talked about. We've said, I want to come home, world changers, and I want to talk the same way in McChesney Park or Rockford or Roscoe or wherever you are. I want to talk the same way there that I did in Muncie. Well, now's your chance. And listen, now is our chance. I am so excited about our church. I am so excited about what God is doing here. But it's time for us to take yet another step forward, because I've learned this about the Christian life. There is no finish line until you die. There's no winner's circle while you still have a pulse. Every day you have a pulse, God has a purpose for you.